Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America in English. From tactical analysis
pelota para la banda izquierda.
To player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. We are in celebration mode again at Las Águilas del América. Have crowned themselves yet again champions, this time super campeones, as they beat Tigres in that Supercopa MX showdown last Sunday at Dignity Health Sports Park. So we're going to break it all down. We're going to give you guys a recap of everything that happened on Sunday in América lifting that trophy. And then, of course, we're going to talk transfer rumors, as it has been quite a busy week since we last talked in regards to Las Águilas del América. And then, of course, we'll break it all down at the end to give you guys a preview of the upcoming season, the Apertura 2024, and our first official league match against Atlético San Luis. But to help me to do all of that and talk all things Club América in English, it is none other than the man himself from New York, Mr. Christian Rosendo. Christian, how we doing, my friend?
Doing well. Got my camera working this week, so we're good on that aspect. I thought I had to go buy out a new one, but we don't. But yeah, no, feeling good, especially after the win. We'll break it down a little bit more in depth, but I think this win goes a long way in terms of the team and the morale and heading into the season. I think we mentioned before, we have a lot of competitions this year, right? So I think it's good that we got off to the right foot. Just to see where this squad goes and how it evolves throughout the season.
Absolutely. I'm sure you're happy that you're not going to be having to look at that Cecilio Dominguez profile picture since you got your camera working.
No, not anymore. Thank God.
I think we all share your enthusiasm, knowing that you know, America did well. We'll talk about it because I think I made the argument, I don't know if it was on the podcast or the preview article that I wrote for the website. It was the fact that I think we came in this one a little bit less favorites, and Tigres maybe had that edge over us. And so,
yeah,
it was an interesting one. Let's just jump right into it, actually. Let's talk America versus Tigres at Dignity Health Sports Park. First, by the way, the atmosphere, amazing. I mean, I've been to that stadium a couple of times to cover America games, but friendlies, but in official game, like, the stadium was roaring. It was just, vamos, vamos, America, the whole time. Dale, be campeón. Absolutely amazing. I mean, the team definitely felt the momentum. And I mean, you see right now what you're seeing on your screen, right? The Javairo goal, I think that changed everything, the perspective for America. But overall, I mean, the atmosphere, just amazing. And the fact that we were able there to cover it, absolutely just, again, I don't want to sound so repetitive, but that's the only word that I can come by, which is amazing. But from seeing it from your perspective, Christian, in on the television, I mean, first of all, the new kit, I mean, boy, does it look gorgeous.
Oh, it's amazing. I love it. I love the colorway. I think the color of the jersey and the shorts, they go very, very well together. It's definitely a nice looking jersey. But I think in most recent years, we don't really put out bad jerseys, it seems like. And this one's another home run for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it was a little bit worrisome because I thought, okay, New Jersey, we look nice, we look great. And then, you know, America starts off on the bad foot with, you know, conceding that early goal.
Right.
Up on the stands, watching it from the press box, I thought, might be a long night.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. It's definitely not the way we wanted to start, right? It seemed like we came out a little bit flat-footed. Adidas came out with all the energy and all the power and will to kind of go and get the early lead, which they did achieve. So kudos to them doing that. But I think you and Chris spoke about it in the chat, right? It was expected for this American team to kind of come out a little bit flat. But I just wish they would have coped with the pressure and the intensity a little bit better in those beginning stages. But I will say, though, after the Tigres goal, it seemed like, you know, maybe give or take a little 5 more minutes. America kind of, you know, sat in the game. You know, they got a little bit more comfortable with each other. They got used to the tempo. They knew what was going on. And I think we just grew into the game after, I guess, maybe the 10th or 12th minute mark. It seems like we were stringing passes along together. We were making runs. It seems like we finally showed up to play, right? And I think that's what maybe caused Didis to be off their game a little bit throughout the first half. And it just allowed us to kind of play our game, which I think helped us, you know, in the quest for those two goals that we scored in the first half.
Absolutely. And then, you know, as the game progressed, America grew and grew and grew into more confidence. I think you said it perfectly, Christian, right? Didis started off crazy. Right. Like you mentioned, and I remember in the chat, you mentioned, you're like, Didis started off crazy. And I think that was the game plan, was try to get us flat-footed, which they did. They caught us very well. But I think it speaks volumes that this team was able to kind of, quote-unquote, make that comeback. Mm-hmm. Especially when you look at the team that we fielded. Like, it wasn't the best starting 11. And I've been seeing videos and I've been seeing people on Twitter saying that, okay, Tigres should have, like, sleepwalked through this America side just because their absences were more notable. Our absences were more noticeable than theirs were. So,
right. I think they fielded their best 11 bar Nahuel Guzman, if I'm not mistaken.
Practically. Oh, I think.
Did I just go white again?
Yeah, you just went white again.
Well, yeah, that's the story with this.
That's the story with this camera.
It's time to put up the picture.
Time to put up the picture. I'm on it right now.
We're back.
There you go.
We're back.
Look at that. I didn't do anything.
It's definitely on your end. Are you playing with me? It's definitely on your end.
Dude, I swear hands are going to be right here the whole time if anything happens again.
No, man. I might need to ask Benji to be in the room right now to kind of watch you real quick.
Yeah. He's going to be the on-spot guy. But, yeah, you know, I'm looking at their starting 11. Yeah, they fielded a very good, strong starting 11. And, mm-hmm. you know, someone said, this isn't the first time that America's had to field a makeshift starting 11 and still get a result against Tigres. I mean, we did it not too long ago in league play whenever we had to focus on CONCACAF Champions right. Cup. And mm-hmm. so, funny enough that in that game, Chavito was kind of the main guy, the guy that kind of takes the spotlight. And I think he does so again in this game, right? And he played out of his skin. Absolutely.
Definitely. And it seems like he loves playing against Didis because he only scores bangers against them, it seems like.
You know what the craziest thing is? When Javito scores that goal, I'm not even looking at all. I'm not looking at anything going on. I was in the press box and I think I was, I don't know what I was working on. And it looked like, well, America was going to lose the ball. So then I kind of just glanced away. And then I just hear the stadium erupt and I'm like, what happened? And then I see the America player celebrating and everything. And I'm like, no way. And then the TVs are right there. So I'm waiting for the replay.
Right.
And I look at him like, my goodness, that was a banger. I mean, it's a lucky banger.
But it's something that we want to see from him. And then, like I said, this is going back to my original point that I think this is a good game for the squad in general. Definitely that's one of the players to focus on this season is Javito. You know, we kind of cut him some slack because he did come in a little bit late into the season, you know, still in the adaptation period. So, but that's over with, right? That's over with. You played your games, you had your minutes, you know what it's like to be an America player. Now it's time to show us what you got, right? And this is obviously a very good first test. And I really hope we get to see more of him throughout the season. I hope we get really good minutes, important minutes. Which I'm sure he will, because like I said, we have a lot of competitions, right? There's plenty of minutes to go around. But I need these performances to keep happening consistently, not just one off and then you have five cold games, then you have another good game. We can't have that from you, right? Especially with like all these rumors about Sendejas possibly leaving. Nonetheless, though, we need a good backup on the right wing. And he could be that player. We've seen flashes. We saw flashes on Sunday. It's just that can you be consistent enough to, you know, to kind of help us out whenever Sendejas isn't available.
Absolutely. 1924 saying Javito just has a personal issue with Tigres. And I think he might be right. He just loves to score against them. I think that Javito's season is going to be an interesting one because I think we all were okay with him kind of being the bench player, to coming in, getting some minutes. But now I think he's like, well, I don't kind of want to sit on the bench. He kind of wants to be a starter. He kind of wants to be kind of the guy, right? And I mean, it's tough competition, right? You have Sendejas on that right-hand side. So we'll see. Like you mentioned, it's early days in the transfer window too. So I think, you know, he's going to get a lot of minutes with the league starting just this season as well. I mean, we'll see. Chris Ramirez saying Javito with two Puska worthy goals. And Chris Rivera saying adapting time over for Javito. Practically, I think at this point you have to have adapted to the city, to the league, to the team. You have talented players around you, so I don't.
You won a championship already.
Yeah, you won a two championships technically.
Two, yes.
So, yeah, it's interesting indeed. But skipping, I don't want to glance over Javito. I think, you know, we gave him his dues, and I think hopefully we see much more of him come this season. But a question I wanted to ask you, Christian, was, is this team, the one we fielded, just that good, or was Tigres just that poor on the day?
Oof. I think it's a little bit of both. I think we also got to remember Tigres, while they do have their strong 11, they also have a new coach. Maybe he implemented new strategies that he wanted to use throughout the season. Maybe it just didn't pan out for him on the day. But I think it also speaks volume to the players that Jardines selects, and I guess how the players buy into his system. Because it seems like, you know, everyone was doing what they needed to do. You know, even when the subs came in, it seemed like we were still playing to our game plan. I think that just speaks volumes to the coach that Jardines is, and I guess the importance that he gives his players. And I guess they're very detailed, very obedient to him, and you know, it just shows on the pitch that we haven't really missed a beat once we got settled into the game. It seems like, you know, we were playing a regular league match in a sense. We were connecting very good in that first half. I think we slowed down a little bit in the second half. I think that the game got a little bit choppy in the second half, but for throughout majority of the first half, I think that we were the América that, you know, that I think everyone is used to seeing.
Yeah, I like the way you put it. I think América just kind of manage the game well, and you, like you mentioned, credit to Jardines, and you see it from whether you were there in person or you're watching on TV, the way that América was able to manage this game out. The way it felt like was that both teams were playing to see who won the game in the first half.
Right.
Second half felt a little bit more like a preseason game, you know. Yeah. But I mean, if that was how they were going to play, it was smart for Jardines to do what he did. I think some of the substitutions were on point, you know, giving some of these guys a breather. It was a hot day for them. I mean, you saw two water breaks. And I mean, overall, if you have to sum it up, I think it's just very good from the América perspective. If you're talking about Tigres, you're probably thinking you should have done better, especially with what you had at your disposal.
1,000%.
But it speaks very highly of not just Jardines, but these players, that they're willing to come in a game, right, that has so much on the line, even though you want to call it a glorified preseason match. But it's still something on the line. I think it's some of these guys have, you know, contracts that are running out. Some of these guys are kind of in between. Am I staying? Am I going? And some of them are in between. Are you my starting or my bench kind of situation? So It teeters both ways. And so the fact that they came out here, did a good job. You know, I think they worked very well as a unit. And I think that's what Jardines wanted to see, right? It wasn't so much about the individual performances. It was much more of how well can you guys work as a unit? And I mean, we saw it pan out at the end of the day. América lifts the trophy.
Definitely. And like I said, good, just go back to my original point. I think the players do buy into his ideology of the game and what he had at his disposal. I think he was very smart in the game plan that he presented. And it worked out. And like I said, you can present the game plan all you want, but you need the players to kind of go out there and put it in motion, right? And I think that's why this squad is a little bit special. You know, it doesn't matter how many absences we had. It shows that we all are one, and we do buy into the idea, and that's the only way this is gonna work. And so far, so good. Like you said, it's technically still a preseason game, right? But it's still early good showings that the team still believes in the system and believes in the common goal, which I think would be to kind of chase the Trica Campeonato this season.
Yeah, and it gets mentioned all around Twitter, but I think that these players are kind of, you know, abiding by that, and they're believing in everything that is this possibility of having a tricampeonato. So it's exciting. It's exciting. And you would think, well, you know, four titles in 1 year, wouldn't you guys be tired of winning? But I think it's just a start. And so I'm hoping that it's the beginning of a long, beautiful journey.
Of course, because then we have another one right around the corner.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing about it. You know, these competitions just get stacked time and time again. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I don't know what more to say about this game, but just kind of kudos, you know, the fact that America did what they did, lifted the trophy. Right. Like I mentioned, the atmosphere, great inside Dignity Health Sports Park. I mean, 90% was America, 10% was Tigres. It was cool watching the players celebrate and kind of parade the trophy around, kind of going around the whole stadium and the fans staying through it all and just kind of watching the celebration. It was wonderful. It was amazing. And I want to say that it was kind of a cool moment for us as a podcast, because we got to cover something that was official, quote unquote, official. Right? We got a CL League trophy. We got to cover that. But most importantly, Christian, is because when me and Dylan had started this podcast, America became champions, because you remember you came onto the team and America became champions that following year. And that following summer after that, we were eligible to play Campeón de Campeones. Well, we had signed up for media credentials, but we got denied. We got rejected. And I remember it was kind of like a gut punch feeling. It was like, wow, it's like so close to me and I can't go and I can't cover it. And we had already covered various games already. And so it sucked. So it kind of felt like we went full circle and now we got to do something like that. And it was cool. Absolutely amazing.
Only here's out to better things that we have. Leagues Cup coming up, which obviously the majority of our games are going to be played on that West Coast. So we definitely have opportunities there. We have the Campeones Cup coming up too, which will be played in Columbus. You know, that's another opportunity there. And then we'll see, right? We'll see. There's a lot of rumors about next year potentially having league games for America in the U.S. And there's more opportunities there, right? So I think the U.S. market for America is been there. It's proven. And I think these opportunities will come. And as we keep growing, you know, it's not possible without everyone listening to us, right? So we do got to say thank you to everyone listening to us on a weekly basis, because without them, then, you know, we wouldn't have this opportunity. So more opportunities to come, and I hope that, you know, everyone's along for the ride.
Absolutely. I hope everyone's enjoying it. Chris kind of highlighting some of my big moments on Sunday. Ivan coming out on Pavel Pardo's Instagram story and Henry sharing his picture.
That was the
Henry cool stuff picture. Was just huge. It was amazing, the fact that, you know, him and a couple of people from the club were posting it. I thought that was cool. So I think that
people don't know about highlight. The picture, go to Henry's Twitter on the right hand corner, the bottom right hand corner. Mm-hmm. Like, put the bottom mark
on the bottom. If you're looking at your screen, on your bottom left hand corner,
on your bottom left you see the big eagle eye logo right there.
There you go. Can't miss it. Can't miss it one bit. But yeah, shout out to Henry. Shout out to the whole America team for putting on a performance and doing a good job. And I guess starting off the season right. Someone said, you know, it was the closing of the achievements of last season, but it's also the beginning of this new season that's coming. So it's kind of perfect kind of segue into everything. But yeah, America, super campeones. So we'll see where we go on from there. But right, Christian, let's move on into our next segment, which is transfer talk. Let's talk, because we got breaking news right before the podcast started that a certain manager was getting reinstated for another 2 years. I think his contract was from 2025, right? I believe. I want to say. But it's official. André Jardine has officially signed a contract extension with Las Águilas del América, keeping him here till 2027. I think Chris Ramirez had put it already in the chat right there. So, I mean, this is huge. This is big, especially with all the rumors that were floating around there, Christian, that he potentially could go to the Mexican national team, and something that you brought up, right? Because Fabrizio Romano actually kind of broke this. In a way, there was talks of Jardine already being renewed by some of the Mexican reporters, but I think Fabricio was the one to kind of break it first to be like, oh, it's official, like it's signed. But you mentioned, right, the fact that Fabricio came out and mentioned it and talked about European teams, that, you know, there was probably stuff that we didn't see going on in the background.
No, definitely. And it just speaks to how little the common person knows when it's regarding these transfer rumors, right? That's why we try to warn everyone to take everything with a grain of salt and only try to, you know, focus on I guess reliable people when speaking about these things, because like you and me, Chris, and the whole America fan base knows that we're linked to about 50 people every single transfer window. And unfortunately, there's just people that kind of believe every single rumor and get upset at the directiva when things don't happen, right? We've got to be realistic, right? And just to realize that we really only know probably 5% of what happens on the background. And, you know, it's insane. But what's even more crazy is that, you know, there's actually, you know, European clubs keeping an eye on Andre Jardine, which in turn could be a bad thing for us, only because if he continues to keep winning and getting more trophies, the shorter, I guess, his time at America will be, because Fabrizio did mention in the contract, there is a clause that if a national team does come calling or a big European club, then he will be allowed to leave with no hesitation, no fighting back and forth.
Basically,
he gets to leave, and that's it. So like I said, good for him, bad for us. But it only time will tell, right? And obviously for us, we want to keep winning, so we don't mind the trophies to keep coming in, but we just have to know that with that there might be a price, and that price just may be our manager.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think the biggest thing to kind of put everyone at ease is the fact that Jardine had most likely tempting offers from, I'm assuming, decent clubs from a European market, where I would believe he would be managing in big leagues. And the fact that he was wanting to stay with America and was willing to renegotiate, I think, speaks volumes, right?
And I think America loves the color.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He loves the club. I mean, it feels like since the moment he kind of got the job, he's lived and breathed America. Like,
yeah,
like no manager that I have ever seen in my lifetime come in and do, right? Maybe Miguel Herrera in his first time with America, he did, right? But I think this rivals it even more so. I mean, only because of the way that the fact that he's producing not only what he says to the fans and to the media, but he's also kind of producing it out on the pitch, and the accolades are there to kind of back him up in that sense and be like, hey, look, I'm not all talk. I have results. Of course. And so I thought it was huge for America to sign him on to a new contract, definitely extend that, because there's always this talk, Christian, that, oh, this America side, you know, bicampeón, now looking for that tricampeonato. They're saying about, you know, can this America side be a dynasty team, right? Mm-hmm. And I think in order to do so, you need to have a good foundation. And it starts with your manager, right?
Of course.
It starts with your manager, and can he be here for 3, 4, 5 more years? And in those years, continue to win silverware. I think if you can do that, plus keep a core base of your players, then I think, yeah, you're looking at a dynasty team that could rival that of America's 1980s glory team, right?
Right.
And that is the pinnacle of Club America, the 80s.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you can maybe even argue that if it were to become true in today's day and age, it'd be a tougher task just because of how modern football is played today and how difficult everything is just now. You know, but like you said, you make a great point. I think that every good team starts with a good base of players, which I think we do have, and a good coach, right? And, you know, the next step is to have everyone buy into what the coach is saying. So I think that's why we're seeing certain targets being picked out in the transfer market. And to some, it doesn't make sense. But only Jardine and his staff will know why they're going after them and why they're pursuing players like Eric Sanchez and Sanabria and all these players and Rodrigo Aguirre, right? Only they will know why they're pursuing. Maybe to me, you, or to anyone else, one or two signings don't make sense. But there's definitely a plan, and we just gotta see it, you know, put into motion.
Absolutely. I guess in this one, in Hiding That We Trust, right? And I think that's the one thing, we just kind of give him the wheel and just kind of let him drive and know that you're in safe hands in one way or another. But yeah, that's the news for Andre Jardiner, renewed till 2027. You mentioned about it right now, right? Chiquito Sanchez. We talked about Eric potentially being announced last podcast. I think literally like the next day or two, he officially got announced with America. So that's 100% done. I mean, we spoke everything that we needed to on last podcast. So if you guys didn't catch that, listen to the last episode. You guys will hear our takes in regards to our, I guess, concerns of Eric Sanchez and what he could potentially bring to America. But overall, I think at the end of the day, we just want him to perform. And like you mentioned, right, if he's a signing that, you know, Andre Jardiner gave the green light to, I think it's because he sees how he can implement him into the system. And so, right. Yeah. He'll be reporting with America, I believe, Thursday. So
Thursday, correct. Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we'll be seeing him soon. A lot of transfer talk here. You mentioned El Buffalo Aguirre, right?
Right.
Last I heard and last I've seen is that negotiations have cooled down, but it's still an option. You know, I think it's been put on pause a little bit. Andre Jardiner was asked about him.
Like I said, we only know 5% of what goes on in those markets.
Exactly. I think it was Cesar Caballero who tweeted that out too. And he asked them in the press conference prior to the Supercopa Mekis match about it. And Jardiner didn't necessarily shoot it down. He just said that, you know, just couldn't really talk about anything like that. But at the end of the day, he just kind of wanted to reassure the fan base that they're going to build an even better and stronger team. So that should be some hope. I mean, I don't think me and you see Buffalo Aguirre, as an America-esque type player. But I mean,
like I said, things have happened. And the staff to see why they're pursuing certain players, which maybe I could see. You know, I mentioned in our chat that I see him like as a Cabecita replacement in a sense. Can play on the wing, can play as a nine, you know, because right now our backup nines are two academy players per se. So you maybe do want a more experienced player to kind of back up Henry whenever he isn't available, right? Or whenever we need something to kind of refresh the attack. You know, it's an interesting option. I'm not sure if it's the best option. I do like that maybe they're trying to weigh in different players, see what the pros and cons are. So we'll have to wait and see, right? But if it does happen, I wouldn't be so opposed to it. It's just to see how he would fit into our system.
Absolutely. And you know, some of the fan base, like Ricardo saying, you know, he would be a solid backup to Henry.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And not just to Henry. I mean, he can play, he could be a little versatile, right? He can play on the wings. And so sometimes we would need that. So again, it's a welcome addition if he slots into the system somehow, right? And so we'll see. One more bit of news do I have here in a transfer rumor? Oh yes, Brian Rodriguez to Brazil. Apparently, Corinthians are on the hunt for him. Last I saw was that they had offered like around 2.5 million, and America was like, "No, that's chump money. We want at least 8," which I think is outrageous. I don't think they'll sell him for 8. But I think somewhere in the 6 range would probably be where they meet in the middle, and I mean, with the lack of depth we have on that left-hand side, do you think this is a smart move to let Brian leave?
It depends, because of everyone that were rumored to bring in, I don't think so. Me personally, I'm not opposed to him leaving. I think that his time here was very inconsistent. He had good moments, but he had a lot of bad moments. I guess a lot of bad runs per se. It seems like once he had the opportunity to get that left wing spot, he never held on to it. And you know, once it was taken away from him, it just didn't seem like he had the capacity to kind of take it back. Listen, if him and his agent are making a lot of ruckus in the market right now, saying that they want to leave, then by all means leave. But it's just funny to me how they want Europe. But, you know, it seems like only South American teams are coming knocking right now, so.
Yeah, I've also heard that a Uruguayan team, right? Peñarol wants him as well.
Peñarol, right.
Mm-hmm. It just feels like a downgrade for him, really. Honestly. But that's our perspective. Yeah, I mean that too. But I don't know. I mean, we'll see. Yeah, like you mentioned, right? A lot of ruckus, especially by his agent. So
by the agent, yes.
Yeah, I mean, Chris saying LAFC owns 20%. That's why they want 8. So I mean, that also makes sense, right? You're gonna lose 20% off already on that sale, so you want something substantial. Right. You know, I was a fan of Brian. I still am in a sense. I just think that after his injury, unfortunately, that he picked up in Monterrey, he just never came back the same. He's never the same kind of player, which is unfortunate. It really is.
Right.
Because I think he could have been versatile. I think he could have been important. But, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, if that's the case, and I hope that we do bring in a good replacement for him. Because I do think you need a player of his caliber in America, a player that can be defining and isn't afraid to take on 2-3 players, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. For sure. 1,000%.
So, Chris saying, don't forget the Luis Romo's news too. I forgot Luis Romo also linked to Las Águilas del América, although I want to believe this rumor less and less.
I think Cruz Azul and Chivas are more on that than us.
I think it's died down a little bit. I just feel like the midfield's just way jam-packed. So I don't think... Yeah. I don't think you need to bring in Luis Romo.
We're just throwing in there to up the price, honestly.
Yeah. That America tax, right?
Exactly. So,
but yeah, and the last thing I have here is Igor Lichnowsky may or may not return to Las Águilas del América as of right now. He is, quote-unquote, a Tigres player.
Yes.
Jarine was asked about it. He said that he wants him. He's already spoken to the board and has kind of echoed that he wants him to stay at America. And so I think now it's just, will they get the transfer done? We'll have to wait and see. Tigres is going to play the hardball. Right. I think especially seeing the way that he's performed in this past year with America, they're probably looking at that. Well, we could probably use him. So
For sure.
It's going to be a difficult one. Do you think he stays? Do you think they find a way to keep him?
No, I don't think so. I think that, Because I also been seeing that Igor wants a certain type of contract for a certain type of money, and I don't think that America will buy into it, which may in turn kind of just break negotiations all in general. Right now from what I know, I think it's like 40-60 that he leaves, that he will not return to us. But like I said, you know, the market's still early. Here right now he just got done with Copa America. His participation is, you know, cut short. So he will travel back to Monterrey. So this issue should be resolved by hopefully early next week. I think by early next week, we'll have a better idea of where he's going and what he's leaning towards too.
Yeah, because hold on, let me pull up the second jornada is obviously not this weekend, but the following weekend after that. So, I mean, I'm sure we'll get news before that. But if for some reason he plays for Tigres, then I think it's done. So I think you get an idea where things are going to be end up going. So I will see. We'll see what happens with Igor. I think there's just a lot to kind of to take into consideration for America. If you're looking at the wages, you're looking at a player that's going to be on the wrong side of 30 in the, right, you know, pretty much soon. What does that entail? Kind of the negative connotations he's had with America, with this whole trisecta, and, you know, with Brian leaving and Miguel Ayun now doing more to the end stuff. You know, it feels like that little group is kind of breaking apart. So, you know, that just leaves Kevin and Igor, and how does that kind of work? And I don't know, It's a tricky one for America, and I think that they're trying to analyze every angle of it. And so, I guess we'll see. I mean, if he stays, cool. I think he's done great with America. But if he goes, I don't think it's the end of the world. Especially when you see Ramon Juarez playing the way Ramon Juarez has been playing. I think that you stick with him and Cáceres, and you should be fine. Honestly.
Yeah.
So, that's, I guess, our little take on that aspect. But that's all I got for transfers in my notes. Do you have anything else?
Right now, currently, no. Like I said, I try to weed out all the, you know, crazy rumors, and not even bring it up to confuse people. So we won't touch those. But no, I think we hit everything on the head. Like we always mention, just keep an eye on our Twitter page, because we Chris is the one that usually updates everyone on transfer rumors, and he does an amazing job. So if you guys want like current updates, head over to our X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it these days, and we will keep you updated.
I still have yet to find someone who calls it X.
I'm sorry. It's either X or Twitter, whatever you like. We're gonna call it.
Absolutely. But yeah, like Christian mentioned, right? Chris does a great job, so make sure you guys follow us over there at Eagle Eye Podcast. I'll keep you guys up to date with everything going on in the world of Las Águilas América, transfer rumors, game updates, everything. So, yeah, that is the transfer segment for this week, and I'm sure we're going to be talking about it for at least another month and a half to come, because this transfer window doesn't end until September 3rd. So it's going to be a minute. We're going to be talking about transfers for a while. But all right, Christian, it's time to talk about the new season, the upcoming season. The Apertura 2024 is upon us. América will kickstart on the road against Atlético San Luis in the first jornada on Saturday. But before we jump and dive into the nitty-gritty of that game specifically, I want to speak about the season in general as a whole. As an Americanista, what are you expecting from this team? Because the bar is set so high. You're coming off a bicampeonato. You're coming off winning, right? Technically, campeón de campeones, and now a Supercopa MX. Like, everything just elevates the bar more and more and more. So my question is, how crazy of an expectation do we have for this team coming into this new season? And how realistically should we be as a fan base for this season as a whole?
Yeah, so I think as a fans, everyone watching, we want the Tricampeonato, right? We want to be the first team to ever achieve it. Is that a realistic expectation? I think with what we're building, it is. But I think that, you know, I guess to not jump to conclusions of a Tricampeonato, just in terms of just league, I think if we finish one or two, I think that's a successful league. Heading into Liguilla. Then what happens in Liguilla, I think we'll have to reassess once we get there. But I think the ultimate goal is to win the Tricampeonato. And I think that's what the Directiva wants. I think that's what Andre Jardine wants. That's what the players want. That's definitely what the fans want.
Absolutely. It's a championship mentality. And these players have right. it. These managers have it. This institution has it. It's just, it is exactly. what America is. My thing is that it just all depends on how this transfer window goes, right? You lost Quiñones, which is a huge, huge. It's just a huge hole that you're going to be burning.
That's a lot of goals. Whether people can complain about his game or not, that's a lot of goals that he brought to us.
Absolutely. So you need to kind of you need to bring in a suitable replacement that can do that. And the difficult thing about it, and I spoke about it. Whenever Quiñones did leave, is that for someone to come in and have the same impact that Quiñones had from the get-go, that is going to be difficult, right? And if we want to believe the rumors that America is lining up kind of his replacement outside of the league, then that's even more of a risk, because now you're thinking, oh, he still has to adapt. He still has to kind of, you know, get accommodated to the team, the city, everything we spoke about Jovito. Is basically what we're going to have to do, rinse and repeat, because the fact is that not every player can come into the league and dominate just like that, right?
Right.
And so I think that's a huge miss. But if the transfer window goes well, America does right, and America reinforces themselves the way that we all are thinking they're going to do so, and they somehow, some way, become even more stacked than last season, then I think, yes, objectively speaking, it's not wild to be like, America needs to finish first, right? And if America does finish first, then I think it's, how does America finish first? Because in last season with the Clausura, there was a lot of interruptions between league games, right? CONCACAF Champions Cup. You don't really have that this season, right? You have Leagues Cup, but that's a pause. That's everybody's a pause. Having
and
a
then
pause.
You have one off game in the champion in the Campeones Cup, and then that's it.
Yeah, that's even if, because I don't think we'll play Campeones Cup this year. It won't be until 2025 this year. We do.
We do play. We play against Columbus.
Oh, sorry, Campeones Cup. Sorry, I thought you meant CONCACAF Champions Cup.
No. Champions League is next.
But yes, you have that one off in Campeones Cup.
Exactly. It's barely anything.
It's not something that should disrupt your season the way CONCACAF Champions Cup did. And
correct.
Yeah. And when we break into the new year, that's going to be a heavy conversation to have. Is, you know, you came so close, you got left in the semifinals. I think you have to win that trophy next season. Mm-hmm. But I think because of the lack of interruptions and the opportunity to kind of gel because you have this quote unquote preseason with Leagues Cup, then I think you're looking at the league as a whole and saying, okay, if you do things right in the transfer window, you reinforce yourself very well, then you have to finish first. And by doing so, I think you need to go and break your Apertura record and surpass that 40 points. Which is crazy to think, right? Because that doesn't leave you a lot of wiggle room. So
yeah, no, it doesn't.
I know to some that are maybe not Americanistas, well, that might sound ludicrous to kind of off the bat expect and demand your team to go and have a season where they break not just 40 points, but over 40 points is ridiculous. But the team that we are, the expectations that we have, the bar that was set from the season prior, I think you have to find ways to kind of level it up. So I don't know if you agree with that.
No, 1,000%. 1,000%. But like you said, though, I think that once we get a good idea of what our team is going to be for the season, which honestly, we know we're saying it could drag until September, but I think that's mainly for departures in a sense. Arrivals, I think I would expect it to be done by the end of July. If we want to bring anyone in, I think that's a good time frame for us. Because at that point you're gonna have to integrate into the squad and then et cetera, et cetera. So I think that the Directiva does not want to drag it until September to bring in someone, right? Unless it's absolutely necessary, like someone very important leaves. Then you know that's the only exception, right? But right now, if there's no more departure or big departures per se, I think that by the end of July we should have the team that we're gonna encounter these three competitions.
Okay. I agree with you. I think, you know, we used to criticize this front office for leaving it so late. But now I think that, you know, this is a really good team going on in the background, and so I think they're gonna try to get it all done and dusted beforehand. Another question I had here for you, Christian. Obviously, we know that we're going to be missing a couple of players potentially in this first match, potentially in the second one because Uruguay might extend their run in Copa America. So, realistically, looking at the first four games of the season, how much should we read into it? How much should we read into the results? And how much should we read into these games? Because you're talking Atlético San Luis on the road, Querétaro at home, Tigres on the road, and Juarez on the road.
To me, those are four winnable games.
Absolutely, right? But again,
absolutely.
How much do we read into that if the squad isn't quote-unquote 100% complete?
With no disrespect to anybody, teams like San Luis, Querétaro, and Juarez, with the team that we fielded on Sunday, that should be enough to get the win against those teams. So that's already 9 points right there that needs to be guaranteed. The Tigres game could go either way. We're not going to underestimate Tigres no matter what we saw Sunday. They're a good team. They've always been a good team. They will always be a good team against us. It's just, you know, we do have the capacity to beat them. I'm not saying those are guaranteed 3 points, but I wouldn't be mad with the draw that early in the season if we're still trying to figure things out per se. But definitely the other three games have to be must wins.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Must wins. And one last thing when talking about this season is this is the beginning of a long journey for America, in where we are no longer going to have home games. We are going to be technically on the road throughout the entirety of this season. How much does that weigh into our expectations, or how much should we take that into consideration when we kind of analyze and preview this season and think, okay, you know, this America side has so much to kind of give, but if you take away their home stadium, you know, the fans may not show up in numbers like that, but I don't know. Do you read into that, or do you think that's just one of those things where you're just like, ah, it's probably whatever?
So for this season, correct me if I'm wrong, or anyone in the chat, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think for this season only, which would be the Apertura, correct? We're going to be playing at the old Estadio Azul, right? That will be our home stadium for all home games for this season.
Correct.
That being said, if I'm right on that comment, if that is to be true, I don't think that home factor should matter, because if that's going to be our home stadium, the players should be used to the atmosphere, the field, and everything that comes with that stadium. So I don't think that should be too much of a problem. Talk to me next season when you have these talks of America doing kind of a world tour, in a sense, and playing at this stadium home, and you're going at that stadium, and you're going at that stadium. Then I think I'll agree with people that say that'll disrupt things, because then you're all basically on the road the whole season. You're never going to get accustomed to one field or one stadium or one atmosphere or one this, one that. Like, it changes things, which is why I was always against having that kind of tour that they were talking about. I understand the money aspect, the financial aspect. I understand all of that. It's just that for me, a home stadium, I want to feel like I have a certain advantage to it, but how can you have a certain advantage when every game you're going into is a foreign stadium to you, in a sense?
Yeah,
you're not in there every 2 weeks.
Yeah, and it's huge, right? I think you mentioned, right, if it is the Estadio Ciudad de los Deportes that we're going to be playing week in and week out, then, yeah, I think after maybe 3-4 weeks, you should feel, quote-unquote, at home. You should
know what the vibe is over there.
Absolutely.
Sure.
But I still think that there's kind of this a little bit of like a nudge in you that you're like, this isn't home, right? This isn't the Azteca.
Well, of course not. No,
the players won't
really feel that, but the old players will definitely know that, damn, this is not the Azteca. Which
this ain't
it
home.
Definitely is. Nothing will beat the Azteca. But to your point of the fans, though, I think that the fans will show up. But that scene only fits about 38,000 people, no?
Yeah.
Close to there, 40,000?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the fan base responds to that, to the new stadium, to everything. I don't know. It still doesn't feel like home, right? Like,
yeah,
especially from a fan perspective, when you're watching these games, you're looking at this, you're like, this is not, like, even when America's had to play like games at like San Nemesio Diaz or whatever as home games, right? I remember in Libertadores having to play there, or a couple of times I've been playing Querétaro. It always felt like an away game as a fan, right? Because you're so used to the iconic Azteca and the views and everything, the angles. So it is going to be a weird twist. It is going to be kind of odd to see. But I guess only time will tell in that aspect. Give me your prediction, Chris, of not only where America ends at the end of the season in the league table, but give me your point prediction.
So I think America will finish second in the league. With 38 points.
38 points. Wow. That means another team's going to break either 40 points or more.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, I'm going to be bold, and I'm going to say that America can and will finish first place. And I'm going to say that they meet my expectation and that they surpass the 40 points and that we end the season first place, 42 points.
42 points. First place, 42 points.
That's huge.
That is huge.
That is huge.
I want first. I just think that for some reason, something, this whole League Cup thing is gonna mess something up. That I feel like we're gonna drop games that we're not supposed to be dropping. And that in turn will bump us down one. But you know, first place is always welcome because just of that home advantage you get in the Ligue 1, which has served purpose in the last final as number one played number two.
Absolutely.
Which I guess it really didn't matter because
it did. We had kicked them out of the Azteca already.
So. Yeah, so David, you're right.
All right. Interesting. Let's see what the season brings. Hopefully it's nothing but good news for America and for Americanistas. With that said, let's talk about the first 3 points that America has up for grabs, which is against San Luis on the road. Jarine faces yet again his old team and what I think should be hopefully a pretty entertaining game. I mean, America has had some recently good fortune whenever we do play over there in San Luis Potosí. I mean, right. Need I remind you guys the semifinal first leg against them and how that ended? So, I mean, we're not going to have the same players at our disposal, right? But you would imagine that this team is capable of producing something. So I'm curious to see how this team goes and plays. And Christian, I'm curious to hear your starting 11 prediction.
Yeah, I mean, I think we gotta go with the 11 that played against Tigres, no? I mean, I don't see where you move it from that.
Would you give Israel Reyes the starting right back spot, knowing that he did not feature for Mexico that much?
I'm not too sure. Well, I think that'll be a development during the week. I think they do come back tomorrow. Him and Eric Sanchez do come back tomorrow. I'm sorry. That's Igor and... that's just Igor tomorrow, I'm pretty sure.
No, Igor doesn't report to us, remember? I thought Israel reports to us on Tuesday.
Thursday.
And Chiquito today. On Thursday. No, sorry, not Tuesday, Wednesday. No, you know what? I think everyone just comes here on Thursday. Let's just say Thursday.
It's everyone Thursday? So no, they're not playing then. No, they're not playing. There's no way they play.
Well, I mean...
I don't think they play.
I don't think Israel featured heavy enough in Mexico for him to not play.
No, he didn't.
I want to say that he's going to be featuring and you have him in that right back spot. But I think everyone else stays the same, which is interesting because I'd love to see what Jovairo can do after a hot game like that. Right. So we want to see that consistency that we mentioned. I want to see more of what Santi Navera can do in this trio midfield. Right. He had.
Yeah.
Somewhat of a good game against Tigres. I think he did a lot of the dirty work. So I'm kind of curious to see whether or not he continued that. And I mean, I don't know who else.
I mean, we also got to start Nestor down.
That's what worries me. That the goal that we conceded was very terrible.
Honestly, he quietly had a okay game.
Yes, and that's as high as I will go in
they, yeah, that's
saying
as high
that he had
as
a good
as
game.
I will go too.
Yeah,
but at least it wasn't a mistake where it cost us, you know, a goal here or a red card or a penalty, you know, something, you know, Nestor-esque, which unfortunately we're gonna have to ride for it until either Israel Reyes can kind of slot in there or Sebas Cáceres comes back, which won't be a while because I think Uruguay looks to make like a good run at Copa America. So
yeah, I think they might go a little deep in the competition. So we're gonna be without Cáceres for a minute. So I guess we'll see what happens in that aspect. What I'm trying to see in this game though is that America can kind of rinse and repeat the game plan that they had against Tigres. Not necessarily concede first and try to get the comeback, but more so managing the ball and managing possession very well, kind of moving the ball around and trying to find spaces. I think Atlético San Luis is going to close himself off a little bit more than Tigres did. And so how do you break that down necessarily? I think it's going to come down to the feet of Jovairo, Fidalgo, and Sendejas. Right. I think when they all interlock with each other and they start passing around, move from one position to another, channels open. And I think this is where you see a much more better opportunity for Henry to get the ball in a dangerous position as well.
No, definitely. And you see how you know, Javito does with these crosses is very it almost too accurate for me. And you know, that whole goal was amazing to watch how we just picked out Sendejas on that side, which also it's a great effort from Sendejas to reach that ball and kind of just, you know, put it in the feet of Henry. You know, we need more of that. We need more creativity on that wing. It's something that I think we've been lacking, especially in that second half of last season. It kind of went a little null for me. So, but you know, this is what I'm talking about though. Javito, he had a good game against Tigres, but now let's see if he can, you know, keep that up, be consistent. You know, he's going to be given the minutes. This is the opportunity for that. Now let's see if he responds.
Yeah. I think a lot of eyes are going to be on him specifically after we mentioned Sunday's matchup. But Sendejas too, you know, quietly doing what he needs to do. Maybe sometimes doesn't get all the accolades he deserves in regards to the, kind of the eye of the fans. Because I think if you look back at the Supercopa Mekis match, I mean, he did an amazing job, but no one was kind of really ramping him up, right? It was all about Javito, it was all about Henry, Hidalgo. But yeah, him just quietly continues to do what he does. And so it's huge. Super huge.
Yeah, no, for sure. 100%.
Well, all right. I mean, make sure you guys catch that game. It's going to be live on TUDN. Let me confirm before I start making things up again. But I do believe that game is going to be... Sorry. It's not going to be live on TUDN. See, this is why you double check. It's only going to be on VIX.
ESPN?
It's going to be on VIX. Only maybe on ESPN VIX. If we're lucky.
I just ended my VIX subscription. I thought I didn't need it.
Yeah, you need it. Why would you end it? The league is about to start. You know that we sometimes play on VIX.
Dude. So,
get that VIX back. But yeah, the game's going to be at 4 p.m. Pacific on Saturday, 6 Central, 7 o'clock Eastern. Kind of an early game, Christian. I'm actually happy.
That is actually really, really early, actually. I'm just I haven't seen him from that. Not that I don't trust you. I just want to see it for myself. Yeah, no. 7 o'clock. Look at that.
I haven't seen an American game that early in a while on a Saturday. So, excited. So, rejoice, ladies and gentlemen. We have Club America football back in the realm. And, I mean, onward and upwards for the Tricampeonato. We'll see what happens on Saturday. But I think... Yes. Starting off on the right foot is going to be crucial. Absolutely of course, crucial.
100%. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So give me your prediction for Saturday.
I think I'm going to go with a very stressful 2-1 win for America.
I can see that too. I can see a very stressful 2-1 win. It's not going to be the prettiest football that we're going to have in these next couple of games. No. And I think that's where I kind of wanted to allude to when we said, how do we temper our expectations for this America side, right? Because I think we all want to see this prime America that everyone likes to compare to, like, prime Brazil on Twitter. But I think that we kind of need to be patient in these first four games that we're not going to see the best America football. We're sometimes going to have to win ugly. We're sometimes going to have to kind of force the game. But it doesn't necessarily mean that we're any less of a team because of it. So I think that this is going to be a perfect example of that come Saturday when we have to go on the road to San Luis in an environment that, yes, has been very favorable for us in these past recent years. But a road game is still a road game, and so we'll see.
Of course. And not to mention that we might be playing a lot of youngsters due to the new rule that was implemented for this season.
Yeah, absolutely. I've completely glossed over that. But yeah, we have to meet this minimum 1,000 rule, 1,000 minutes.
1,000 minutes.
So yeah, it's going to be difficult. Let's see what happens. We'll keep a track on that specifically, but yeah, we'll see. So you're going 2-1. I'm going... I know I just said that America was going to struggle and that America was going to have this tough game, but I'm going 2-0. I think we still find a way to make 2-0. Make it like an ugly 2-0 victory. But yeah, the perfect example of that is the game against Tijuana, right? At the beginning of the Clausura, it was a very ugly 2-0 victory. Still, victory nonetheless. So maybe something similar like that. Yeah. So I guess we'll see what happens. We'll see.
Of course.
Yeah, that is our predictions. Make sure you guys stay tuned over to the podcast. We'll keep you guys up to date with everything going on. I know AJ's excited to get going back with the gifts and goals and reactions. So this should be a fun start to the season, and let's see what happens. Chris saying 2-1 for America, a brace for Mr. Bomba Henry Martin. Let's see. Absolutely. Yeah, I see. Well, with that said, anything else to add on, Christian?
You know, I'm just happy that Club America is back. Club America football is back after being very disappointed by the national team. I have something to look forward to. So yeah, I'm just glad that we get to talk about this every single week now. Club America is back, baby.
Absolutely. This is why I keep telling you and Brian to forget about the national team. Just focus on what's important.
I can't.
It's America and America only. But yeah, no, yeah, ecstatic. We're back. And it should be hopefully a long and amazing journey and season for Las Águilas del América. And yeah, I guess we're just excited to bring you guys the coverage. So stay tuned here, and we'll continue to do our best to bring you the best up-to-date news and coverage for Las Águilas del América. All right, you guys take care. Have a wonderful night. Until next time, take care. As always, Arriba la América. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.